session number 9893, Reel 1.
Brigadier Brigadier Champion Jones, Reel 1. Can you tell me about your family background, Brigadier?
My family background? Quite considerable. My father was also a Royal Engineer. I was born in Southampton, and after 2 years there, I went out to Jamaica to join him. But that's his, and he was sent out there with the Royal Engineers to rebuild after the earthquake of 1902 or 1903. No, something like that. Yes, I was born in 1904, and I had 4 years out there. My brother and sister were born out there, twins, and then we came home. And eventually we went to Ireland, and I went to school in South Ireland, and then prep school there, and then to a private school, Bilton Grange, near Rugby, for about another three or 4 years, and then to Haileybury, where I didn't get any scholarships or anything like that. And I left Haileybury and went to the, passed into the Royal Military Academy at Woolwich, 1922, that must be, yes, 22, 24, that's it, yes. And then 2 years at Chatham.
At what point did you decide that the army was to be your career as well?
Oh, I always did. I was going the same as my father, I suppose, with these automatic sort of things. And I liked the idea of the sappers because I was technically inclined to engineering. And also we had a family tradition, my father and my grandfather is that old boy up there, Sir Montagu Omini, who was my mother's father. So we had it on both sides. And he was a very brilliant chap indeed. He was in the Royal Engineers too, but he left it very quickly. And because those are the days when if you got noted as being a high-flying chap, you got asked for. And the civil service asked for him, and that's him in the uniform of Permanent Undersecretary of State for the Colonies. That is something to follow. Anyway.
Can you tell me about the training you received at the Woolwich Academy?
Training? Yes, well, this is the ordinary training of a Royal Engineer officer. About to be. It simply consisted of military history, drill, infantry drill and that sort of thing. And actually, we were drilled on guards drill, which we had to unlearn when we got to Chatham. And a certain amount of tactics, map reading, map drawing and so on. And and mathematics. I can't remember what that roughly covers all this. I think we did an awful lot of drill and so on.
Was it what you had expected?
Oh, much tougher than I expected. the very first term, you were called a snooker. I believe that's a curious name. It comes from a gunner history. When the latest joined recruits from Woolwich, not recruits, but young officers, newly commissioned young officers, were allowed to play snooker after guest nights in the mess. And so they became known as snookers, and this eventually gravitated to the newest joined cadets, the first termers at Woolwich.
In what ways was it tougher?
Hmm?
In what ways?
What way? Oh, well, we had things in a gym called Snooker's Dances. I think once a month, something like that, where you were supposed to wear you dressed in gym kit and a bowler hat. Any old straw, any old brim would do. And you were put through also the senior term during the intervals of the actual dancing, when we danced with each other, the band played. The senior term would put you through the junior term through a sort of rag dancer, rag business. Where snooker's half a squad one end, half the other, a couple of horses in the middle, in the box horses, and then you, both parties were supposed to get over the horses and hops into each other. If people fall down the gap in between, it was frightfully tough. And then the snooker's off the floor, you had to get onto any bit of, it's just a sort of like a public school belly ragging, it's extraordinary, isn't it? And actually, in our term, they were so tough on us, they were ordered by the commandant to lay off a bit. And then all sorts of things happened. If they caught you running home afterwards, they'd beat you with a rope or something like that. Not hard or anything like that, but no, it was quite good fun.
Was the aim to toughen you up?
Hmm?
Was the aim to toughen you up?
I suppose it was. It was a tradition. I don't know. Very curious. Well, there are all sorts of curious tradition. That old boy was senior officer, under officer there at the shop when he was, when they had a mutiny and they fired a loaf of bread from one of the Waterloo guns, trophy guns at the commandant's house. That sort of thing. Oh, that's all part of the old tradition, though. It's really, really not for record very much now. It's a today's story, but it's that's just the experience of all of us, really.
Were you assessed?
Hmm?
Were you assessed at Woolwich?
Oh, yes. Well, you eventually, part of the first year, we all worked together in the same class, and then we split up into would-be gunners and would-be sappers, Royal Engineers, and we did a slightly different training. And we sometimes, at the end of term, we went down to Aldershot and joined up with regular troops on manoeuvres and that sort of thing. Riding, of course, we learnt quite considerably. I fell off the horse and went into Millbank Hospital with concussion on one occasion. And there's not really much for you to record in all this. I think it's so much past history.
What happened when you moved on to Chatham?
We were on to Chatham. We went to, first of all, in Brompton Barracks, and we had nice rooms, which we shared, two to a room we shared. And we had the mess with there was in very fine order. It is no longer, it's now more or less a hotel with women and all sorts of awful things in it. Horrified in our days to have had a woman in, except we didn't even have ladies' guest nights or anything like that then. I was down there not long ago. I took Doreen down to show her the place. And it was just like a sort of ordinary hotel, more or less.
Was it tough but there?
Well, we started off with, I suppose, 4 or 5 weeks of infantry drill on the square, in which we not only drilled ourselves, were drilled, but we in turn were taken out to drill the part of the squad, so as to find out what our voices, learn what our voices were like. And then we started academic technical teaching, which is more mathematics, science, engineering, design of structures, that sort of thing. I was with the last batch that went the full 2 years there. After that, the next batch only did 18 months there, and they also only did 18 months at Chatham. And in between they went to Cambridge, where they got a degree of a minimum BSc engineering at least, which was useful in afterlife. And then we did survey work, even spent in the general strike of 1926, we were due to go down to Dartmoor learn to survey part of Dartmoor. And the entire batch of about 26 of us, we all got ourselves down in our own transport. One chap got on a two-stroke motorbike all the way down to to Dartmoor, which was quite an effort. We had 3 weeks in Tavistock. We were roaming the hills with heavy theodolites and that sort of thing. That came into the course anyway.
Did the general strike have any effect upon
your
movements?
None whatever, no. No, we were out of all that sort of thing.
What plans had you for the future?
Plans for the future? Well, I was going to be... I had no particular desire to do anything particular, really. Just do what any other officer would do in the Corps. As it turned out, when we finally got through our course and promoted lieutenant, we went to... my parents were already gone out to India, so I put down... There were some vacancies for India, so I put down for India, where I spent four years, came home for 2 years, got married, went out again, another 4 years. Then came home to a field company, a second command of a field company in Aldershot.
Can you tell me a little about what you were doing out in India?
In India, I was, the first 3 months was attachment to the Indian sappers and miners. I was down in, there were three corps of them, one near Bombay and the other near in Bengal. And I went to the Madras sappers and miners in Bangalore, down in the south. 3 months, then I went to a place called Secunderabad, where I was supposed to learn what the military engineer services did in looking after the building of the army's buildings and barracks. And then I was moved to a place called Jabalpur, which was delightful, plumb in the centre of India, with quite big teak forests around it. And I was there for 3 months, where part of the time we had three outstations. I was assistant garrison engineer in charge of outstations, and which meant that I got a motorbike and sidecar, and when I got tired of pushing paper around in the office, I went out and inspected our works. Engineering, electrification of the tomb, which was going on, because it had been nothing but, I suppose, oil lamps or something before that. I don't know what they lit. No gas. And
what were relations like between the British Army and the Indian people?
Oh, we were very happy. Gandhi was just beginning during that time to be heard of. But and there was one occasion when it was when I was getting engaged, my fiancé had a cousin living in the station I was in, so I was able to arrange her to come and stay there for a few weeks, which was very pleasant. Then I had to conduct her back to join her sister and her parents, who had come out to India, in Ceylon. So I conducted her down by train. 2 nights and a day, I think, on the train, in which we changed 3 times into the same train, because they took off carriages and put other ones on. This train was coming right from the north of India right through to the south. Then I came home and we got married, 2 years course, electromechanical engineering, and then went back to India, to the north, to Ambala. And every year there, I was threatened with being moved away somewhere else, packed up the house, and sent the wife off up to the hills or home or something like that. And then something happened when we went, I couldn't be spared, so I unpacked again at the same place. That's for 4 years, spent 4 years like that.
Did you want to leave India?
I mean, not much, no. Well, he was always glad to leave India, you know. There's a certain amount of privation. You got rather tired of having a bath in a tin tub. There's no water laid on. It was carried in a leather thing by a water boy called a Bishti. And he filled empty kerosene 4 gallon cans, boiled up the water over a fire, and poured it in about 2 inches of the bottom of your bath. You got rather tired of that sort of thing. But it was great fun. We had shooting and that sort of thing. The country was delightful around there.
What was social life like for an army officer in those days?
Social life in India? Well, the centre of the social life was the officers' club. In almost every station there was a club, and there was which was quite pleasant. There was nothing else to do, really. I had a motorbike and sidecar, which I journeyed about. And we had dances and things occasionally, and there was badminton was available, and tennis, that sort of thing.
And what exactly would your duties be?
My duties were the building of design and building of and maintenance of army buildings. I was in charge at that station. I was in charge first of all of our outstations, 220 miles up through the hill road, and another about 80 miles to the south of a very hot station, and the other one was way to the north where there was a riding establishment, a place called Sorga.
What happened when you finally did leave India after your 4 years of moving?
Well, then I went for 2 years at home, went back to India, and I spent the next 4 years in quiet married life, putting more bricks on buildings, as Lord Roberts described his success to doing, in Umbala with a witness, the Kipling story of Kim and all those books. Kim's bungalow, where he was supposed to have reported to the senior officer of the station, the intelligence that he'd gathered round and about, that sort of thing, was a thatch roof bungalow, which was occupied as the RAF mess. And we at that time were living in a thatch roof bungalow. When the RAF mess thatch roof went up in smoke, I've got a photograph there of it going in, burning down. All the wretched RAF officers got their furniture out on the street. And we were rather concerned for our thatch roof bungalow, but fortunately it didn't go up.
You were saying you found conditions a bit primitive.
Well, they were. I mean, if you're used to long baths and it'd be childish to complain about it, but it was nice to get home after it. And mind you, the hot weather in certain places was very, very hot indeed. And the cold weather was lovely, sunny. I never played polo because I had to maintain a motor bicycle in lieu of a charger, as officially called. And I was allowed to draw Sison forage allowance to cover my petrol. There's a funny sort of relics of the older days that still lingered on.
What element of choice was there in your postings?
None at all. Except when we left Chatham, there were various places where postings were available, and we were allowed to put our names down for whatever we'd like to go to. That's how I got to India, because my parents had just gone out there. And
you left India after your second stint of 4 years.
That's right, yes.
And where did you go then?
To Aldershot.
And what did you do at Aldershot?
I was second in command of the 23rd Field Company. The field companies no longer exist, they're squadrons now, but that's another matter. And I had 2 years, more or less, doing that, until I passed into the Staff College.
Can you tell me about your time at Aldershot, what you did?
Normal training of a field company, which consisted of second in command as the administrator of the company. They kept the accounts and the regimental accounts of the company, which are a private resources for the benefit of the troops, largely coming from NAFI dividends and things of that sort. And we went on manoeuvres. I went on two manoeuvres. That was the time in the war, in the war, in the history of the army when army was becoming motorized, and we had Morris, mostly Morris, civilian pattern lorries of some sort, which was devil to keep going. They had very bad starters and that sort of thing, and usually rather overloaded. It is rather difficult to know what else there is to say about that. It's normal training of the troops, go out a weekend, bivouacs in the summer and that sort of thing, sleep in the woods around, and did bridging exercises, crossing the Basingstoke Canal, which is known to every sapper who's ever been to Aldershot, I suppose.
How tough were you on your troops as instructors?
Not tough at all, I don't think. We were then using new equipment, something. We had some difficulties in bridging the various rivers around about. They were pretty heavy work, as bridging always was, for field bridging, for for the people who had to carry the bits and pieces and put them together. I don't think there's anything very exciting happened in those days.
And you were promoted again at the end of that?
No. I was already by then a captain. I was promoted to captain while I was at Inambala, my second tour in India. So we must have a party. Our clerks came along and insisted on my giving them a party. It always happened.
Why did you go to the staff college after Aldershot?
I always had. They used to say in those days that nobody would get beyond the rank of lieutenant colonel who hadn't been through the past the staff college. There was a theory, so of course one applied to go and studied. Spent a lot of time studying all that time at Aldershot. You had to pass the exam.
How difficult was it to gain entry to the staff college?
In our term, it wasn't that very difficult because the Minley had been formed as the senior part of the staff college. The theory was you'd go to Camberley for a year, then go out and come back for senior training to Minley. And consequently, the intake to Camberley for that year was doubled. We used to say to ourselves, if it hadn't been doubled, half of us wouldn't be here.
What sort of subjects did you have to study?
Well, the training was the formation, the composition of the army, really, its use, and they say we don't give you any tactical doctrine. We merely try to teach you to be able to solve any military problem, and. We spent a lot of time out on exercises in the surrounding countryside, went far and wide. Halfway down, one exercise was at Westmere, halfway down the A32 here. They were very enjoyable. We got an allowance for our cars to get about, usually shared cars.
How technically inclined did you need to be to do this?
That's not an easy question to answer because most of us were probably infantry or ex-infantry, ex-gunners, ex-sappers from all the different corps of the army, trained to be to do staff duties, really, to be a support to the commander in the field and so on.
How did you find the course generally at the staff college?
We found it very pleasant. It was great to be relieved of any responsibility whatever for 2 years. And the limitation was always what the directing staff could do, the people who had to correct your papers and so on. And And it really was very enjoyable.
Were you provided with married quarters?
Well, what, sorry?
Married quarters.
No, we lived in rented houses round about. There are a lot of rented houses in Camberley available. So easy in those days. And we actually found rooms quite near the college, which was pleasant.
When did you leave the staff college?
When I went abroad, went to mobilisation. I went there in 1939, and we were three quarters through the course. They said you've learned to, you studied the withdrawal, you studied the defence. You better come back in time to study the attack. Not that you'll need it very much in the first phases of the war. And so we were called back from leave. When things were looking like hotting up before Hitler actually marched into Poland, and we were out on an exercise when we heard on the radio that he had marched into Poland, so we stopped the exercise and went straight back and went offshore mobilisation stations. Mine was Longmoor. This would have been towards the end of August, I suppose, 1939. I knew already that I was deputed to be to join at Longmoor, which is near Borden in Hampshire, as embarkation staff officer. Now, funnily enough, I have no recollection whatever of how we got there. I must have had my car, I suppose, and my wife had been left with her parents East Sussex, and I think I must have had time to go back there. I don't know how. I just don't remember. I remember being at Longmoor. I remember my parents from Fleet coming down to visit me before I went off. I got a photo of myself in a tin hat and wearing a gas mask, taken by my sister. And we had our inoculations and that sort of thing. And I joined the formation, which was called a movement control group. Longmoor was the Royal Engineers Railway training school, so, because the Royal Engineers ran movements in those days. It's now the Royal Corps of Transport. And after a very few days, I don't know quite how, which day after the war was declared, we entrained for Portsmouth and embarked on these two destroyers. That was the advance party, the entire advance party of the British Expeditionary Force.